Jake 100, welcome to the Dirt Shed Show, mate. I appreciate your time. How are things?
Yeah, good, man. Thank you. It's an honour to be on the show, for sure.
Oh, man, it's great to have you on here. You are the wheelie king right now. Mate, tell me about that wheel behind your head. What's going on there?
So this was actually from my Barcelona trip. I think it was last year. Yeah, it must have been last year, the start of last year, or late the year before.
I tried to ride the
seawall and misjudged the speed, I guess. Went at it way too fast, cleared the first one, and then kind of got stuck when the second one was right in front of me. And,
yeah, you went right down the doorway, right? Straight down the hole. Oh, my God, that's a big drop.
Missed the door, like, as I've come off the top, I've, like, pulled up just as much as I could, which was a tiny amount, just to save myself, like, from face planting on the floor, because it was pretty much vertical.
That's crazy.
Then the back wheel, yeah, just literally just folded, like, fully just folded in half.
I mean, we obviously know you for all your crazy wheelie stuff. Get onto that in a minute. But do you do much sort of street? I mean, that's street riding, the stuff in Barcelona. Do you do much normal street normally, or is that...
So I've started to kind of see what I can do on the streets more now. My bike is obviously a 29-inch cross-country style bike that I've kind of tweaked for wheelie. So it is not the lightest of bikes. It's not the best, obviously, for hopping on benches and whatnot. But that's something I work on in my own time, not on videos and whatnot, just trying to hop money onto benches and wheelie down stair sets or jump stair sets. And no, I really enjoy that style and seeing how I can kind of tweak what BMX riders or street MTB riders do and put my own little twist on it. So I do, yeah, I actually really enjoy trying that stuff. And
what mountain bike street riders do you follow? Who's your sort of Instagram watch
guys
for that sort of stuff?
It's interesting. So I think on the mountain bikes, for the streets, I don't really know that many mountain bike street riders name wise, but obviously the ones like Fabio Wibmore.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's got that guy then.
Who doesn't watch him, you know? Like,
yeah.
Crazy tricks. Then on the streets, I watch a lot of BMX riders on the streets, to be honest, like Courage Adams, Stevie Churchill, those riders.
Yeah.
Saw a lot of Tate Ross's clips recently.
Yeah.
He's super creative. So a mix of him and Fabio is what kind of started me to try those sort of tricks recently as well. So I guess I'm the sort of rider that I'll see other riders doing their thing and think, okay, their BMX or their mountain bike, how can I put my own little twist on it with the style of riding that I do? And just kind of try and incorporate tricks from different scenes and
move it around.
Keep our scene fresh and moving, yeah.
You've been watching any of Brad Sims' stuff?
Oh, yeah, I follow him on Instagram.
Oh my God.
I don't even aspire to do bunny hops like that on my bike. Like, I just, it's mind-blowing.
I've never seen bunny hops like that. It's so powerful. It's like he's got, I don't know, sort of reminiscent of like a basketball player, that sort of pop. He just has so much height. Jesus, it's unbelievable.
Like crazy. I remember watching him as a kid, not really hearing much about him, but then in like the last year, like his Instagram clips, he's just dropping like one a day right now, and it's just like literally like stupid, like actually stupid. Yeah,
he's amazing right now. I'm loving his stuff. Okay, right. Let's get into the details, man. Why wheelies? It's crazy. This whole scene built around wheelies. I mean, it makes total sense to me because there's nothing that feels better than a great wheelie. But how did you get into that?
So it's interesting. So I come from a BMX background. I used to BMX when I was a kid. Footballer as well. Football was the dream. But I feel like as most kids who don't play football anymore, a knee injury was what kind of put a stop to them. I injured my knee BMXing. So it was the bikes that kind of ruined my dream career choice. But yeah, I was a BMXer. After that knee injury, I had to get a mountain bike so that I could sit down and pedal and not basically destroy my ACL, which it would have done on a BMX. In that time of recovery where I was riding a mountain bike as a former physio, being the lover of tricks that I am, learned to wheelie, was hanging out with some of the local kids. We'd be on the local estate or local, like outside the youth centre, and we'd just be riding up and down, just popping wheelies. Like, no idea that there was even tricks to it that you could do. Yeah. No idea that, like, there was no scene when I started wheeling. Like, there was no scene. It was just a thing you did with your mates. Started posting a couple videos on Instagram, and I guess a couple kids from South London saw that video and was like, yo, we should ride together. Ended up riding with these guys week in, week out. And the more we'd post videos, the more kids would message us and be like, yo, can we come ride? And we started getting a little group. Had like a ride out of like 20, 30 people one time. Thought that was the biggest thing ever. A couple years later, there's a Bike Storms ride out and there's like 300-400. And then 5 years, 6 years down the line, there's 4,000 kids pulling wheelies.
Oh my God.
In a ride out on the streets, yeah.
Is that how many is it, a Bike Storms? It's 5,000
yeah,
kids?
Thousands, yeah, like literally thousands. Like, it's
and is
nuts.
That something that's, is that annual or is that something that happens regularly? Or
is so Mac Ferrari, who's like the kind of guy who organized the dates and a lot of Bike Storms, it was one a year for a while, but he's starting to do two a year, almost one in summer, one in winter. Like a smaller one in winter, as in it's more of just a ride, but the one in summer is a big event. We have competitions, food, music, whatever. Like, it's a massive, it's just like a massive, it's like a bike festival, but for the young people of London. Yeah.
And is that happening this year, or is lockdown kind of...
Nah, so it was supposed to happen, I think it was April, mid-April, but yeah, it's just, yeah, postponed until whenever.
Oh, fingers. So it could come back this year, you think? Maybe later in the year.
Possibly, oh, yeah.
If that Bike Storm happens this year, I'm going to come along, man, because I want to see that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible.
So what happens? Like, I mean, talk me through the scene, because I'm a dummy on it. Like, what's the idea? On a normal ride, you'll go out and you just, like, hammer down streets around cars and try and kill pedestrians, or what? What's the deal?
Nah, I don't get it. So it's right, like... Nah, so I guess the main mindset where everyone rides is because we all love it. You know, it's a freedom that you can't experience in any other way in London or wherever you're from. Obviously, if you're out in the countryside, I never grew up and had trails or whatever nearby to go and mob down trails and dig jumps and stuff. Like,
yeah.
So I guess
like most of us, it's hard to get by. So hard to find that stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I guess we kind of span it around and started finding that fun and that enjoyment and that create like a way to express ourselves through pulling wheelies and trying out tricks on our bike. So I guess the normal aim on a ride is, literally for all of us to just come together, hang out, practice new tricks, push each other. Yeah, we bomb down streets, have fun.
Yeah.
Never try aim for pedestrians. You know, if you ride with me or around me, we stay away from all pedestrians. We go close to cars because if you hit a car, you're going to hurt yourself. But if you hit a pedestrian, there's two people and we don't want to get into that. That's a whole... So yeah, we stay away, but we're bombing the roads. And then, we'll pull up to a location, normally a big concrete strip. And that's when we'll play some music, get some food, practice new tricks, fall off our bikes some more. And then I guess lot of the time we're content focused as well. So we'll be out there trying to film clips for our Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, whatever. So we're just, our scene is very on and is very aware of social media. And it's very on.
Man, I mean, some of the stuff you guys create is just so perfect for that. I think it's an incredible story that you wanted to be a football player and now you're a Nike athlete doing wheelies.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's amazing.
Like, I can't complain. Like, I'm never... Yeah, it's mad how it's... My life's changed, Like, I never... My dream riding-wise was always to work part-time and either have YouTube or small sponsorship or whatever to mean that I could ride part-time. But after... 2 years of work, I just, ended up getting bought out of my contract at the bike shop I worked at, and now I'm just riding every day. And
that is so, That is so inspiring. And I tell you what I really love about the whole scene that you're into is that it's so accessible for everyone, because the bikes, I mean, you can literally go and spend £100 on a mountain bike and do that. That's what exactly. You can do on that's what you can do on that bike. It doesn't need to be any more than that. The back brake needs to work a bit.
But most
disc brakes these days, they work. So yeah. I mean, you could just do it, and I think that's so cool. That's not the story generally in mountain biking. It's usually like, how am I ever going to afford this sport? You know.
Yeah. So I think it's like any kid is able to get on a bike and practice his thing, and then as a scene, the messages, the hidden messages within the scene and within the community of riders is anyone is welcome. Like, anyone is accepted, anyone's welcome. It don't matter where you're from, what colour you are, what background you're from, what your past is. As long as you come out on your bike and you're here to ride and you're here not to cause trouble and you're here for positive reasons, then anyone is welcome. Anyone can come and ride. And, yeah, like, literally most of the people I see every day, none of them are from my area. They're all from different bits of London, which all my other friends that don't ride bikes, their friendship groups are so much more limited, you know. It's just pretty much stuck to the area, whereas mine, my best mates are in South London, West London, North London, and
I love that. Is there any beef? You know what I mean? Have you got any? Is there any like crews that you? Oh man, there's that. But you know, I'm imagining this scene where like you're as a group, your group, and you're hanging out by some streets, and you see another gang of wheelie guys. And I mean, what is there ever any trouble?
No, it's funny. Not really. Like no, like there's not. It's because I think the way the scene was built was. The way the scene was built is that we don't want that, you know. A big message in the scene is bikes up, knives down. Like, that's the message of the scene in my eyes, in the UK. Yeah. So it's like, which is the reason why we have bike storms, ride-ups, which is the reason why we have this mindset, is that anyone is welcome. We don't want any problems. We want you to come out of your area where you're affected by drugs or you're affected by knife crime or you're getting peer pressured to do the wrong thing. We want you to get on your bike, get away from those people, come to central London or different bits of London, come and ride with people who want something good for you, you know, who have a positive mindset themselves. So, like, I think there's probably little inside beefs between one or two people, but I have no idea about them. Like, there's nothing...
That's amazing. I mean...
Nothing major.
That's a big... I mean, that's a big subject to tackle through such a sort of, I don't mean to be able to go out and ride your bike and do wheelies. It's something we all try and do with our first bikes when we're kids and when we're adults. I know, I love wheelies. I think like being able to tackle those subjects like knife crime and drugs, really big problems. That's amazing to
take that stuff on. Yeah, and it's like, it's crazy how many people are actually affected by these sort of things that you wouldn't even know, like on the ride outs. And it's like, if that kid hasn't been stabbed, the chances are, like, if you grew up in London, you know someone who's been stabbed, like, there's a good chance of that. So to get all these kids away, it just seems like a real effective way for those kids. It's not, obviously, since wheelies have become popular, knife crime hasn't dropped or anything like that, but there's a lot more kids staying away from their area, staying away from getting involved and coming out.
It's an avenue, isn't it? I mean, put me straight. I mean, I keep referring to this as like a wheelie scene or whatever. What do you call it? How do you refer to it? Make me sound cool, Jake. Help me out. What are the right words?
It's crazy because the scene, there's not like a name like BMX or mountain biking or whatever. Like, I guess a lot of us just refer to the scene as the bike life scene. The bike life we all live to ride every single day. We wake up and we're riding our bikes. Like, we're living that bike life in our own way, you know? And like, we wouldn't, even if I said bike life, I wouldn't exclude mountain bikers or BMX. I think everyone's riding, we're just another rider, but yeah, I guess it's you could call it the wheelie scene, like, yeah, street freestyle. But yeah, I just refer to it as that.
I like the wheelie
scene. The bike life scene.
Mate, I think building, and I come from my background's trials riding, and that is like a really niche sport of mountain biking. And well, trials is very hard to get into because you need to learn a certain amount of techniques before you can really say you're a trials rider. So I think drilling down into a discipline as a scene rather than an ideology kind of thing.
Yeah,
I think that's a really cool way to look at bikes, because I don't know what it is about the wheelie. There's something about wheelies that we all want to master it.
Yeah,
that's what kids want to do when they get on bikes. And like I said at the start, man, there's nothing better than when you're just like, you've got full control of your bike in a wheelie.
Yeah,
like it doesn't ever feel nothing any better. Than that. You just so feel you can free, go all around the world. It's not going to get better than that.
Yeah, when you're just sitting there and you're just pedaling, and you're like, you almost forget that your front wheel's even wheeling. Like, you can't.
So,
beat
do you
it.
Remember your first? Do you remember your first wheelie?
Yeah, I remember learning. Learning for sure.
And how old would you have been when you were learning a wheelie?
The wheelies, I think I would have been 13, 14.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I think 14, probably late 13, 14 years old.
Yeah, and that would have been on a BMX though, right?
I kind of learned the wheelie technique, or how to do it on a BMX, because it is kind of different. I could pop a little wheelie on the BMX and stuff. But then when I got my first hardtail was a Saracen. It was a Saracen Tough Track.
Nice. Yeah, I know
Saracen
that bike,
Tough Tracks, 27.5. It was red, white forks. Like, it was sick. I love that bike.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the first bike I learned, like MTB, that I learned to wheelie on. And that was probably, when I was like 14.
Yeah. And the big difference, obviously, is when you get onto a mountain bike, you've got those gear ratio options that just mean you can just make it happen.
Sit down.
I used to love going into when mountain bikes, and I'm talking when mountain bikes were first around in the UK. I remember just doing the slowest, like granny ring wheelies up hills as slow as I could go, and I used to just think, this feels incredible, just balancing it on its back wheel and just keeping it smooth, and I love it.
Unbeatable so feeling. Nice.
What would be your tip for a beginner to learn the wheelie, because everyone wants to do it? So what would be Jake 100 tip to wheelie?
Tip to wheelie, I would say, it's a hard one. It's like that one tip. Make sure you always have that back brake covered. It's gonna shave your bum. Yeah. Always have the back brake covered, either one, two fingers, whatever your preference is. Just...
And why is that? Why is covering the back brake so like treat me like a dummy?
Yeah.
Why is covering the back brake important?
If you don't have your back brake covered, you're gonna flip the bike, fall on your bum or your back, maybe even smack your head off the back of your head off the floor. Like, it's the brake is what saves you from going too far back in the wheelie.
So when
I see people wheeling, they haven't got one, two fingers covering the brake, and they're just like this, my heart starts beating. I'm like, it's only a matter of time.
You're always gonna go too far. You really are. Right, let's. I want some honesty now. Okay.
Yeah.
Is the CGI? Is it CGI? Was the front wheel trick CGI? Is it real?
No. Yo, I can prove it to you as well.
Man, that doesn't look real.
Wait, which one? Where we landed on it or where we caught it?
The one where you catch your friend comes past and he catches the wheel you've dropped. I'm like, I've seen the clips of it going wrong.
Yeah.
I just can't believe it, man. It doesn't look real.
It didn't. It's so funny because this is me filming it on the camera in the same look, like just after I did it. Like, that's off the camera.
There it is. Oh, yeah.
Like, that's off me.
It's real.
So, like, genuinely, like, so a little background behind that trick is me and my friend Bradley on Instagram is Send It B-Rad, because he literally sends anything. Like, he'll try any trick on bike, flip, skateboard, skates, like most talented guy I know all round, like, hands down.
Don't people like that annoy you?
Yeah, but no, because I get a lot of entertainment from being around him, seeing him, like, literally try anything. So he literally thought of this trick where he'd let his front wheel roll, he'll pick it up, he'll hook it onto the forks, so he'll rest it on the top of the forks, readjust himself, grab it, and then hook it into the dropouts and drop the wheel.
Yeah.
As soon as he did that, I'm like, okay, wow, anything's possible. Like, how have I never even thought about this trick? And he did it in 15 tries. Like, I've never seen anyone do this. So that's when I started trying where wheelie and I land on the wheel whilst it's rolling. Don't pick it up, just land on it. Two sessions that I tried it. Then we started trying these bounce shots, and we're seeing Tate Ross's videos with Fabio's videos, and we're like, okay, let's roll with this. Like, people seem to like it on Instagram. The shit is hard. The reward of actually landing a trick is so much greater than any other trick I've ever done. So we did this bounce shot where we're like, bounce it, he kicks it, I catch it, or we bounce the wheel and he flicks it up or something. But then this one, we basically wanted to bounce the wheel and for it to, like, land on top of the forks, him to grab it, readjust it, and slot it in.
Yeah.
So, like, we're thinking, okay, all we have to do is get the wheel straight onto the forks. The axles are going to, like, land on either fork, like, not going to the dropout. We're trying it. We're going at it. That was the plan. Somehow, the freaking wheel, one side goes in the dropout, the other side, this little trick, you can have an exclusive little, this is how it works. The other side of the wheel, so the other end of the axle didn't go in the dropout. It's missed it.
And he's just kind of held it,
No, there's no brake. We have no front brakes.
Oh, no way.
There's no front brake.
I thought he'd caught it and held it, because we used to do that at the trials thing. We used to do a trick where you drop the front wheel away and stay on your back wheel. But obviously you just let the brake go. I thought you'd done the other way around. So no front brake.
We have no front. I don't run a front brake. He doesn't run a front brake. We bounced the wheel.
Mental.
One side's hooked in the dropout. The other side's missed the dropout, but wedged in because of the speed. He's coming at it. The wheel's coming like this. It's gone in. So, like, really and truly, from his side, the wheel's one side of the tire's touching one side of the fork. It's bent.
Yeah.
But where we filmed it from this angle,
it's
just come out, like, ridiculously perfect. Like, we watched back the clip and we were, like, mind-blown ourselves. Like, we didn't even ride the rest of the night. We were like, what just happened?
That is crazy.
Yeah, and for people to, like, certain people, there's mad arguments in comment sections, like, this is fake. No, it's not fake. Like, we're just taking it all, like, as a compliment that it happens so well that people think it's fake. Like,
I mean, we've talked about it in our little group of GMBN guys. Yeah. We've talked about it so much. Toff, who you've emailed, he loves your riding, and he was the guy who said you've got to talk to Jake 100 because he's been doing some great stuff recently. So hence we got in contact. But we were all talking about it, and it can't be real. And even Toff, who's, like, been following you a bit longer than all of us, he was like, I think it is real. It's, what would be the point? And I'm like, I just can't believe it.
Yeah.
But that's great when stuff comes out like that. I bet. What happened afterwards? You must have freaked out.
I've rode off and I'm like, no way has the wheel stayed in this force. And I'm thinking, no way. I turn around and I see him try and land on it now.
Yeah.
Because he thought it was, like, in his bike, like, ready to go. Like, somehow didn't really think twice. He was so hyped. I've turned around. I've just seen him, like, pull the brake to, like, land the wheelie and ride off. He's landed and obviously the wheel's not in properly and he's, like, stumbled and stuff. And then we just started, like, screaming. We were like, no way. Like, we were super hyped. Like, the reactions
are so crazy.
Yeah, super funny.
So I guess you're probably thinking, man, I need to come up with a few more of those.
Yeah, so we're working on a project now. Me and Bradley, we're working on a project. Same location. It's a DLR station in East London. But it's just dead quiet at night. There's no residential buildings on next to it, there's no workplace, nothing is near it. It's just on this like industrial back street. So there's no cars, it's dead quiet. The security of the station love us, like come up with tricks for us to try. Like we see the same, we're there every night at the moment, literally from between 10 until 4 a.m. we're there. Amazing. Practicing. Like last night I was there till 3:30, just practicing tricks, coming up with new ones. So we're working on a project now where we take those clips that we were putting on Instagram for a week or so, because we was there for a week or every night getting Instagram clips. Then we're like, yo, let's give it a couple weeks, let's work on a project, take everything to even the next level than we've even just taken ourselves to. Like, let's push ourselves even harder. So it's like, yeah. And so now we're working on a project of literally those sort of tricks.
Oh, but wow, that's cool.
With the next level. So that clip where we bounced it, that's one of the only clip we're putting out on the internet of the project before we release it.
Oh man, that sounds amazing.
And it is, we don't regret putting the clip up, but because of how amazing that clip is, and that's the one that we've released, the pressure on us to make sure the video matches that standard of craziness is...
But pressure's great, man. That's what you want. You want the pressure to get you out there. And like I say, it's not easy to like push yourself to like ride into the late hours of the night and try and get something. But yeah, setting a standard for yourself like that, I think that was a good thing to do. Put it out there, and then
I've got to smash it.
Got to push myself. And
yeah, and I got people like Danny McCaskill and Robbie Madison and stuff commenting on the video, like, "Yo, this is sick."
I saw your comment from Robbie Madison, and I think your answer to his was like, "What?"
I was mind blown. I was like, "No way."
I've been fortunate enough to have a couple of moments like that myself, where I've suddenly been chatting to someone online that you just think, how is this happening? And it feels so strange to chat to someone that you just like, you've followed since I was a kid.
I remember him jumping into things in Las Vegas. I was like, no way.
Yeah.
And for him to comment and be like, yo, I'm waiting for the full video. I was like,
that's crazy.
Like,
that is crazy.
So that I'm now riding that like at night, and I'm trying this trick and I can't do it, and I'm like, Robbie Madison's gonna be watching, like, we gotta make sure we land this.
Man, he's done some stuff. His film Aircraft is my favorite. That is one of my favorite videos of all time. I just think that's
insane.
The soundtrack, the outtakes, just next level.
Perfect. Yeah,
love that guy. Tell me about the Down to Ride project. What's that all about? That sounds pretty cool.
So the Down to Ride project is something that I've been working on for, I don't know, the best part of a year, to be honest. Like, it was mid last year when I started having the meetings with Nike about setting something up. They basically gave me a bunch of budget to do something good for the community, like to give to charities or whatever, like as part of a campaign they were doing. I've come back to them and I'm like, yo, let's do something more meaningful. Let's set something up that carries on going. And my kind of story to where I've got to is, didn't really like the education system, finished school, went to college for 3 weeks, did not go well, quit college, had to get reconstruction on my knee, so I was going to fail the year anyway. In that time, I managed to get a job in Paradise Cycles, which is a small independent bike shop in Bethnal Green in East London. Worked there for 2.5 years. Best thing, like, to this day, I got my Nike deal and I got my own bike and I've flown around the world. But to this day, getting a job in that bike shop was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, in the sense that it completely changed my whole life around. Gave me something super positive, something taught me so many life lessons and whatnot. So I basically wanted to open that door up for as many young people as possible. So the aim is to basically get as many young people qualified in bike mechanics as possible so they can go out into the open world and get jobs in different bike shops and come up with their own businesses around bicycle mechanics. So we worked on a course, had super loads of meetings, teamed up with a charity in Walthamstow called Pinpoint. And basically we've worked with kids. I was even volunteering in a special needs school and teaching young kids in there little bits of bicycle mechanics. So we basically want kids with less opportunity or who are at a risk of gang violence, drugs or whatever to come down, hang out with us, learn to fix bikes. For the ones that are super interested and want to take it further and possibly get a job or start their own business in bike mechanics or whatnot, we basically then fund for their qualification, whether right. it be a city and guilds or SciTech. Those details are still getting ironed out at the moment. But yeah, we've set the course up and we've got the first group of young people coming who were on the course before the, obviously, lockdown.
Yeah.
Which put a halt to it. But yeah, we had the first group of young people coming through and they were going to help co-develop the course and help tweak bits to make sure it's engaging and
that's
the
awesome.
Right sort of stuff for the young people. So yeah, that was like a big goal of mine to always be able to give back to where I come from, the people around me. So yeah, for Nike to kind of take that big step in making that happen and kind of giving me the control and the lessons that I'm learning now to even start a project and whatnot is, yeah, super valuable. Yeah. So yeah, it's an exciting time, and it's
such a great idea. I mean, there's people like you mentioned him earlier on, Danny McCaskill. He is same story. Straight out of a bike shop. That's where he got to know the scene. He got to know the people. He started riding with them. Next thing, he's the most famous cyclist on the planet. You know, it's it happened in the space of 2 years. Like bike shops can be just the catalyst of so much stuff.
It's the place. Because I think it taught me so much more than just how to fix my bike and save a lot of money in life. Because I can fix everything myself. It taught me like how to handle customers, how to plan your day, like schedules, how to handle troubled customers. You know, you learn so much more than, and you build such a good relationship with people. Well, I was lucky enough to work in one of those bike shops that didn't have some grumpy old guy who just been doing it for 50 years and didn't want to be there anymore. Like, it was a bunch of young guys. They set it up themselves. So it was like a super nice environment, super community-based workshop. Like, yeah, it was, yeah, the best thing for me. They funded for me to get SciTech qualified, which kind of is what sparked the whole idea to get young people, to pay for young people to get qualified, because I was like, I was mind blown. Like, to have a qualification is so, like, if I get injured tomorrow and can never ride again, then hopefully a bike shop is a nice backup option if I haven't set my own business or what up yet, you know. So
well, man, I can see a chain of Jake 100 bike stores, surely. It's gotta happen.
Who knows?
Why not, man? Why
who
not
knows?
Why not?
We'll see.
I remember when I started, I sort of kind of turned pro and then I went on to a really big team.
Yeah.
Got a store that was near me to sort of manage my bike for me, so my bike was always, so I was doing lots of competitions and my bike was always being run by, and I used to just hang out at that bike shop all the time. I wasn't even being paid to be there and I was hanging out with the mechanics all day long because it's just a cool place to be.
It's a little vibe. And I've got this local bike shop near me called Bike Shack, which is like it's a lot closer to my house than the one where I was working.
Yeah,
and that's got that vibe there, like, yeah, hang out, they play tunes, we're just at the bike shop, and then we'll go out on rides with the guys who work there after sometimes, and yeah, it's a sick vibe, and I guess that bike shop, that bike shop's sick. I just love the bike shop vibe, to be honest. It's just a good vibe, like, everyone's happy what they're doing, and yeah, so with the Down to Ride project, it's trying to get kids into that. Open the doors up and show them there's so much more to life, you know.
For sure. So the Down to Ride project, where can people find out more about that? That's got Instagram and
So right now it's find out the most on Instagram. Right now we're starting the YouTube channel. The project that I'm working on with Bradley is actually going to be for the Down to Ride YouTube channel.
Right.
But yeah, like literally, yeah, if you just search Down to Ride on Instagram or on Google, some stuff will come up.
That's cool, man.
Yeah,
it's amazing. That's so good. I was asked by, and I'm not going to pretend I know any of the people we're talking about right now, but yeah. I've been asked, there's a guy, is there a guy called Ard Rocks or RRD Rocks?
Oh, RD Blocks, yeah, he's from Blocks. New York, yeah.
Yeah, what's the deal there? Are you guys like competitors? Are you trying to outdo each other? What's the... I'm looking for the beef, man. I can't find any. It's great. Nah. But is there like, what's the deal? I got asked to ask about him. Yeah, so I'm asking.
Cool. So RD Blocks is like, I guess he's almost like the face of the scene in New York.
Right.
He's been doing it for the longest, like in my knowledge, he's been doing it for one of the longest out there. He's kind of what made, in my opinion, he's what made the SC bikes, you know, the big wheel, colourful, big BMX bikes. He's kind of the guy that made those cool. He's the first guy I remember who was riding an SC bike and stuff. But he's like insane, like, he's like insanely skilled on a big BMX out in New York. But no, unfortunately, there's no beef or anything.
I don't want there to be any beef.
We're not trying to outdo each other, like... Yeah. I feel we don't talk that much. When I'm out there, he shows me a lot of love. Like, we ride together when I'm in New York or whatever. So it's all cool. But I guess in a sense, he also has a similar mindset to me on the community side of things, because I know that he started this hashtag and thing called Let's Get Kids on Bikes, and he'll gather donations either from companies or followers or whatever, and he'll help kids get on bikes. So I guess, if anything, we almost have a similar mindset, in the sense that let's take advantage of the position that we're blessed to be in.
Yeah.
Let's kind of like pass those blessings on and provide similar blessings to, you know, young people in our city, basically.
Love
that.
Well, dude, I'm glad there's no beef, man, and I really appreciate it. I really appreciate your time today. I love what you're doing.
Thanks, man.
It's a wicked scene. Thanks for your time on the Dirt Shed Show today. It's been awesome. It's been great. And if you want to hear more from this chat with Jake, we're probably going to put it together as a podcast and put that up in the next week or so. But for now, Jake 100, thank you very much, man.
Thank you, Martin. It's been a pleasure.